second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. You just heard Chase at the end of last hour coming back from Floridia or something like that. He's coming back from vacation. He'll be back with us tomorrow on the program. We talk with TD every Monday. That is his podcast, Talking with TD. You should check it out every week, usually out there on Wednesdays. You can also hear it on these airwaves, 102.5 The Game. And he is the NFL Nation reporter, covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Teron, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Hey, weekend was good, man. How are you guys?
Great. Hard-hitting question right out of the gates. When you sneeze, one time or multiple times?
It depends. Sometimes the outdoors gets to me and the allergies act up and it's multiple times.
But normally, majority of the time, it's one time?
I haven't really consistently taken count, but I would
really?
Say probably one. Yeah.
Okay. I'm usually charting mine. Okay. Maybe I'm by myself on that.
You got to get the PFF stats. They'll tell you, you know.
We need, sneeze analytics. And some PFF grades, for sure. Let's start with the big kaboom over the weekend. Jamal Adams had certainly look, the NFL, just like the, you know, they watch all these professional athletes. They watch and, you know, they interact with the other sports leagues and professional athletes. And they see in the NBA and other sports how it works, how to work your way out. And the NFL has figured out how to do that as well. Right, I mean, Jalen Ramsey did it last year. Jalen Ramsey did it with Jacksonville, and he got his way out to the Rams, and Jacksonville got a couple first-round picks out of it. Khalil Mack to Chicago, the Raiders got a couple first-round picks for that. And now the Jets are going to get a couple first-round picks for the services of Jamal Adams. And Jamal Adams wanted out, and so now he's out, and he's in Seattle. Let's just start right there with that trade. What do you make of the deal?
Well, if there was one team that I think Jamal Adams would be the ideal fit for, it would be the Seahawks and what they do. If you look back to their Legion of Boom days, they were able to really take advantage of a guy who had primary box skills but still was able to not be a complete liability in coverage. And I think that's what you get from Jamal Adams. So it's a good trade. It'll allow them to get back to some of the things that they want to do. And the thing that's crazy is he instantly becomes one of their top pass rushers as well. So I get why they made the deal. And it's a team that understands that their window is now and they want to take advantage of it. And they actually managed to get him to agree to play on that contract over the next couple of years. So that's a good thing too, whereas he's not going to be that expensive.
Certainly we see pylons in football. And it seems like with this trade right here, for me, when I see that and you think about what Bill O'Brien, the GM, did in Houston, this will be another opportunity for all the people that love to pile on his GM skills or lack of. Certainly I'm one that I think he's a horrible general manager. It's great for the Titans. It's good for everybody in the AFC South. But to trade away that receiver and not get a – right? And all these other guys that I've named, they all basically, and he should be in that category with them, right? That level player, you get two first-round picks. And to see what he got for trading away DeAndre Hopkins is just yet again an opportunity for people to jump on Bill O'Brien and say, you know, what in the world were you thinking?
Yeah, and then on top of that, Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets, was in a situation where he pretty much had to make the deal. And it was one where he had pretty much no leverage. So you tip your cap to Joe Douglas for getting that deal made. The Texans absolutely did not have to make the deal. It's one that they did make. And, you know, what can you say about Bill O'Brien as the GM? I think he pretty much summed it up. And his job has been less than stellar as a general manager, as a personnel guy.
So, with that being said, how does this Jamal Adams trade to Seattle, which we had John Clayton on last week, and he said he felt like it is down to two teams and two teams only for the services of Clowney, and that is the Seahawks, where he does radio every day, and Tennessee. And so with the Seahawks getting Jamal Adams and what they had to give up, and then they're going to have to give him a big, fat new contract at some point, what does that mean now for Clowney to Tennessee?
I don't know that that necessarily has an impact on Clowney to Tennessee. I think it still remains what it's always been, that familiarity standpoint and that getting to a scheme where he thrived. And when you're signing what's likely a one-year contract, you need to be in the best position to allow you to prove yourself. So I think that all remains the same regardless of the Jamal Adams situation.
So you don't think it changes anything, really?
I really don't. I mean, to see how they've already given away Clowney's number 90. They brought in Bruce Irvin. They've made moves to get other pass rushers. And obviously, Bruce Irvin isn't the caliber of Clowney. But I just think if Clowney looks at this the way I think he will likely look at it, the way most people will look at it, whereas they want to prove that they're deserving of a long-term deal, I think he goes to the Titans just because it's the best situation for him to prove that he is an elite player and that he could get that elite player money.
What did you make of Ken Moore's tweet over the weekend? When he said, a trusted source tells me Jadeveon Clowney plans to sign with the Tennessee Titans once he can take and pass his physical. Clowney will likely need to go through the COVID-19 two-test protocol before being allowed to take his physical. And that was basically the gist of the tweet. What did you make of that? Or what do you make of
that? Yeah, well, honestly, I'm not sure who the gentleman you mentioned is. But, I mean, this is not news. This is something that we all have looked at and said will likely happen. If he has a trusted source, you know, more power to him. But I mean, it doesn't change anything as far as my opinion is concerned. So I'm not sure exactly how I should look at that because,
yeah,
you know, again,
that's fair.
Something that we considered.
Yeah, I don't know the guy either. I never heard of him. So I mean, that's more than fair. It was just interesting to hear somebody put something out there saying, you know, what does that mean, a trusted source? If it's coming from Adam Schefter, that's one thing, you know, Jay Glazer or whatever, or you, whatever. But, you know, I don't know, you know, neither do you. So I didn't know if you looked into that at all.
That's not to discredit him at all.
Because, right.
I mean,
right.
There are times where you have people who do have connections,
sure,
to a certain camp, you know, so that's not to discredit him at all. It doesn't change anything for me. I peeked into it a bit. I couldn't draw any conclusions or anything like that. But, again, it's something that I think is going to happen.
So everything is supposed to – okay, so let's start with – because we had Vince Ferrara on last hour, and he said a bunch of former Vols were getting cut over the weekend on NFL rosters. Everybody has got to get down to 80. So let's just talk quickly on the, you know – the moves that the Titans have made to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most significant thing is they kept their undrafted free agents. And I've said multiple times that I think Christian Wilkerson will make the roster. He's actually on my roster projection. So I think it just shows their confidence in the guys that they have coming in and their willingness to give them a shot. Most of the guys that they cut, you know, these aren't guys that you really, you know, with the exception of maybe Amani Bledsoe, you didn't really expect these guys to be around anyway. So, I mean, it's nothing that I think is earth-shattering news.
So, everything's supposed to get started tomorrow, is that right?
As far as the testing, guys are going to start reporting for testing. So, you got to have you have to pass the two tests. That is a positive, in my opinion, that they passed the test.
Yes.
But, you know, that has to happen, and then they will begin to start that ramp-up period. And eventually that's going to lead into padded practices, but that's not really going to be until mid-August.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. And, Teron, I don't know if you were watching the Mets Braves at all. I had the exhilaration of the 1-0 win in the first game and then having – one strike away from a two consecutive Edwin Diaz perfect ninth innings, and then the dream was shattered on Saturday afternoon, only to have a complete just absolute whitewashing last night, a complete crushing blow, 12-1. I don't know what was worse, the 12-1 or the heartbreaking loss in extra innings, but oh boy, I digress. But at least we have some games that we can get the emotions going in.
Yeah, man, if Diaz would have just thrown that three and throw your best pitch, right? 3-2, throw that nasty slider. Two outs, 3-2 count, you throw the nasty slider, you know that's what your money pitch is. And he didn't do it, and Ozuna went opposite field, and next thing you know, it was back to life, back to reality, man. It's like that, that meme that they have, you know, the two Tiger Woods pitchers, man, one at opening day and one at Memorial Day. And it's just what I've been used to, and, you know, I've been conditioned to it, and it is what it is, man.
Oh, that was something. So, Teron, you know, we talked about the Moore story. Along the same lines, what do you read into, how do you, when you see somebody like Kenny Vaccaro reach out in some form or fashion to Jadeveon Clowney on social media? Do you read anything into that?
No, I don't read into that too much. It's something that, I mean, look, social media is just, it's the way of communication, you know? So I think it's just a friendly thing to put out there, generate some conversation. I don't think that's actual recruiting pitch. I think if anybody has the best recruiting pitch from a player perspective, it's Jonathan Joseph. And he already said that they've talked before, but he's just letting him go through the process. So I wouldn't put much into Vaccaro's thing.
In light of what has happened with the Marlins, right, we still are waiting as they sort through this, what is going to be the immediate reaction and fallout from what baseball does. And the football people have to be taking note because their format is similar, although there would not be as much travel involved for a football season. You're traveling, you know, half the teams travel once a week. That's a lot different than baseball, where even though they've modified the travel, there's still quite a few teams that are going to be traveling with a greater volume. But it's got to be in the back of their mind watching and learning from what baseball is going to do to try to, in a quick crisis that hits here, how quickly they can react and get things sorted out.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think baseball is a bit of a closer testing ground, so to speak, for the NFL than the NBA is. So I'm sure they'll be watching. I really want to see what happens when these Phillies players, I want to see those tests, how those come back. And I think that is really going to be the key to how everything's adjusted, because the Phillies just played the Marlins, and we know multiple Marlins, you know, I think it's 10 of them, you know, 8 players, 2 coaches tested positive. So that's something to look at. And I think really you get an early example of the reaction too with this list of guys that came out, you know, from the NFL that, you know, will not be, it didn't say that they tested positive. They may have been exposed one way or another. There's something that isn't right in their situation. And that list was released yesterday.
And I just think of the discipline it's going to take. You have an even larger roster with football. And in training camp, to sort through who your best players are, as we're talking about, you got 80 guys. So that just increases the chances. That also increases the responsibility of every player to take every precaution to minimize, because all it takes is a couple to make a wrong decision. And you could even make the right decisions and somehow come up with a positive test. You might even know you had it. But there's so many things that can happen. It's going to be a great challenge for all of these players. And I know all of the coaches, all of the organizations have got to be trying to think, okay, how do we minimize this? How do we avoid this? Because there's even more football players than there are baseball players.
Yeah, ideally, they would go back to the old training camp setup, to where they go to a college, or like in the Steelers case, they go to a high school. And it's isolated, and they're there on campus, and that's how camp happens. Now, obviously, a lot of the guys probably wouldn't like to do that because it's not the best atmosphere, you know, for them. They're away from family and everything like that. But I think that would have been the ideal thing to do. Going forward, I mean, you just have to keep the testing going, and everybody has to be as safe as possible as far as following protocols and things like that. But it's inevitable. I don't really think that a positive at some point is going to be avoidable. And it's just really a matter of, okay, how do you adjust? How do you call that audible, right, when the defense changes? And I think that's really what it comes down to.
Toronto, an on-the-field question here. What are we going to see, if anything, in the coming days about the quarterback position for the Titans? Will they bring in a veteran, or do you think they will roll with what they've got?
I still think they're rolling with what they have. But that could change because you're going to be able to see free agents, period, get to the facility at some point in the near future. You know, that's going to be passed. So it could change, but I don't see them bringing in any quarterback. I think they really feel that, you know, what they have in the mix of Tannehill, Woodside, and Cole McDonald, I think they have three layers set up. And I think Cole McDonald makes the roster. You almost have to have him on the roster because of this whole COVID situation.
Teron, good stuff as always. Anything special planned for talking with TD this week?
No, we're working on some guests. We have Bill Barnwell. He'll be on. I'm working on a few other guests, so we'll see what happens. What'll be special is just Eliza and I on there talking shop, man, like we do every week.
Sounds good to me. It's Wednesday night?
Wednesday night it'll go up, and Friday at 6 p.m. it'll play, and Saturday at 7 a.m. So
awesome.
Stay tuned.
Give it a listen. Talking with TD. Teron, always appreciate it. You have a great week.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Take it easy.
Talking with TD. That's what we just did here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. That is Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter. Covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. We will come back with a lot more. Don't forget, tell us what you know, coming up at 11:45. That's about 25 minutes away. We'll give something away, but we'll need your participation. It's very simple. You just tell us what you know. So this is what I know coming up here this hour in a little bit. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, and ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. Once again, that's RockNashville.com. We'll have Scott Burnside coming up at high noon. We'll talk some hockey with him as everything is about to get cranked up on August the 1st. That's Saturday, August the 1st, this weekend. Wow, it's hard to believe. This weekend.
And he has written specifically about that situation with Arizona that has thrown a curveball at the Coyotes with their general manager basically being fired for the most part, right? Is that?
Well, he said he quit. They said he quit, which I don't, you know, I can't imagine that he quit because usually when they quit, doesn't that get the team off the hook with the contract? He just signed a deal. A new deal, I think it was last year. We can ask Scott about all that, but
yeah.
I don't know. Usually they want, when he's got a deal like that in place, you would think he would want them to let him go so they would be on the hook to pay him everything. You know,
I think it's an interesting, this is what I want to get into with Scott, of what he knows, because the statement is pretty clear. John Chyka has quit. But I heard, you know, wasn't there maybe something that he was looking around at other jobs, and it's basically, oh, you're going to look around, you don't want to be here, then you've quit on us, you know? And so the grass may be greener on the other side, and if you think that's the case, then we'll go ahead and tell everybody that you've quit. And so I there's definitely some language in there that's important because you're right. There's a lot of time left on the contract. And so that's a huge thing. There's 3 years left.
I mean, this guy looks like he's 18. I know he's young. Like, I don't know. What is he? Is
he 30? He is young. He is young.
Early
when
30s?
He got the job,
what
he was in his 20s. He was a Theo Epstein kind of guy. I think he got the job when he was like 27, just like Epstein did with the Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he's just took his high school senior picture. But
yeah.
Usually there's a lot of, you know, there's some games being played behind the scenes. You know, if everybody knows this person is out, then they're trying to, you know, the franchise is trying to, the organization is trying to do something to protect themselves and see how they can get out of this and save themselves a ton of money. And the person that knows this is coming to an end is trying to figure out their way to get, you know, to maximize as much money as possible on the way out, right? So there's always this little game being played. So I don't know, from everything I saw, it sounded like they said he resigned, air quotes, quit, whatever you want to call it. I haven't seen anything that said that he was fired. And the only reason I say that, when you say, well, who cares? You know, what's the well, the difference is, you know, sometimes millions of dollars.
So exactly.
That's the difference. So we don't know. We'll get into all that with Scott and how it will affect the team. I don't know if it affects the team at all. Obviously, as a Predators fan, everybody out there is going, yeah, hopefully it does, because that's what everybody in this market and everybody listening to the show is rooting for, that it affects the Coyotes. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but it is an interesting time for their organization for this story to be out there, because Rick Tocchet's going to have to answer those questions.
He's going to have to. And remember, what else do you have at play? An ownership change, right? So,
yep.
So anytime that happens, and you've got all kinds of issues with a new ownership group trying to maneuver through the challenges that that market has faced for a long time with the location of their arena, the need maybe to try to get closer to downtown, all of the things that have made it really tough for them to succeed financially. What factor did that have in there, you know?
Yeah. So we will get into all of that, like I said, this Saturday. Everything gets going. Five games, and they're all qualifying round games. So no round-robin games on Saturday. It'll be, and everything will start at 11 a.m. So once again, going back to our initial conversation in the first segment, both of us are taking the weekend off from baseball tournaments, don't have any of that, and so we can turn on television at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning on NBC Sports Network and find the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. And then right after that, Chicago and Edmonton. And then right after that, Florida Panthers and New York Islanders. And then right after that, Montreal and Pittsburgh. And then right after that, Winnipeg and Calgary in the nightcap. 9:30 p.m. puck drop, and that'll be on NBC Sports Network as well. And I think NHL Network, I think. There'll be several networks for that one. But all day and all night, you can get hockey on Saturday. So, wow. And the NHL just announced that there were no positive tests in the last week, which that is the thing that keeps, you know, being more and more encouraging. Well, yes, there's this Lou Williams story on the NBA side. It's like, oh, my goodness. Facepalm emoji. But the NBA, it had zero positive tests. The NHL with what? What was it? 800 tests, I think, with the players or whatever, and they came away with two. So, I mean, they have been doing such a great job leading up to this point as they're getting ready to start playing. And then, like I said, the NHL just announced no positive test in the last week. So that continues to be really good news on that front.
Remarkable. Remarkable. I honestly am shocked. I didn't think that they could pull that off. Zero.
Yeah.
And then even two out of however many. I think they said they had over 2,000 tests. And as you said, you know, the 800 players or whatever it is. You know, it does make you wonder how that is even possible in comparison. But I guess you tip your hat, and now that they're in the bubble, I think they even have less of a chance, because if you're starting off on the right foot
hope.
And you're in that environment, and, you know, I've had little tidbits from people that are up there and saying, you know, they've gone to unbelievable lengths to try to create sort of a luxury atmosphere, even though you're in a you have boundaries, right? You can't just go anywhere you want. You have to stay within the boundaries. But they've tried to do what they can to make it as comfortable as possible there. I have stayed in that hotel where the Predators have.
Were they in the J-Dub?
Yes, and it's very new. This
That's
was the
one
first
connected,
season,
right?
Yeah, this was the first season, I think, that we stayed in that hotel. It's very, very nice and spacious. So here they are, and hopefully they'll be there for a while.
I told you my wife has gone on business to Edmonton and because she works for StanTech, and I guess the StanTech's headquarters is in Edmonton, and they have the StanTech Tower, which is, I think, right there by all that stuff that you're talking about, the J-Dub. Well, the arena and the JW Marriott is, I think, connected to it. And, like, that whole, like, 2-3-block radius, I think the StanTech Tower is somewhere in there. But that is actually, I think it's a part of, because there's obviously several hotels. It's all, and we've talked about this little Olympic Village. It's probably at a little Olympic Village in a 2-3-block radius. Is that fair to say? With all the teams?
Yes.
And you hear, by the way, what you said on the environment, like the NBA, and I know the NBA initially, you know, you had Rajon Rondo complaining about the room, is it nice enough, and some complaining about the food. But if you've noticed, like, all that chatter has quieted down. That was right at the beginning. And now you're starting to hear more of, hey, you know, this is they've done it up nice for these players, same with the NHL. So it sounds like these bubble environments, at least initially right now, as they're getting settled in, that it seems like it's a good setup for the players. Everybody feels good about it. Now we'll just see if it can all play out.
And I think the bottom line is, too, that no matter how nice you make it, that if you're there for 2 months, you'll get tired of anything.
Sure.
You know, everything gets old after a while. But the flip side is that means you're winning. And that means you're driving towards something very, very special. And so I think that's what would continue to, you know, get you through for sure. You know, your mind will not be on, hey, you know, this hotel is getting old. You'd be like, hey, we've won two rounds here. You know, this is exciting. We're moving on to the next round. This is great. You know, that's what's going to be the focus.
Well, you're right about what you said initially. It doesn't matter where you are. If it's not home and it's not your family, you know, you would get sick. It didn't matter how nice it was, right? You would get sick of it if you've been the same place, little tiny radius, for 2 months, right? Like I said, that's not called home. So, I mean, there's really no way around that. Although, what is it, the conference final, right? Is once you get to the conference final, family is allowed to join? Is that right? Or was it Stanley Cup?
I'm not sure.
I think it's conference final that you can start having, I guess, your family join you. We can ask Scott about that.
Yeah.
That's actually, you know.
Well, think about this too, Darren. What do you pack? This is a question that came up to me this weekend. How do you pack for that trip? Staying in the same hotel room, how much stuff do you take? You don't know if you're going to be there for 2 weeks or 2 months. You're certainly positive thinking, right? So you have to be packing as if you're going to be there for 2 months. What is stuff? What are things that you have to have, and what are things that don't make the cut? You know, what's essential?
Okay, so let's give the
listener, I'd love for people to react to that.
Well, let's give a little inside to the listeners out there that, you know, you've certainly got firsthand knowledge. I have a limited firsthand knowledge because it's just playoffs. So it's just going to one city, usually for two games. Sometimes it's for one game and then coming back. So, but let's go on the two-game scenario. But you go away for a week and a half, so you get to see the more extended version. I didn't realize this until I was traveling with you guys during the playoffs, that typically what I saw, and, you know, because I had to rethink, like, even my packing, I'm like, well, what difference, really, I'm on radio, like, what, like, I would take a suit for each game, and I'm like, well, you know, the players least the way I saw it, they just would take a suit, and that's what they would wear on that. Like I said, this is a playoff where you're just going for two games, and then you're coming back home. Just one suit. And I was like, do I need to take two? I mean, like, that does make sense. I mean, there's nobody. I'm on radio. Like, you're on television. So you and Mace, you guys, that's a different deal. Like, you're on television. So, I mean, I get that. They're typically not, I guess, other than, you know, availability after a game or whatever. So that doesn't really fit anything near what you're talking about. Because, like you said, you could be there a week. You could be there a month. You could be there 2 months. Could be there 3 months. So how do you go
about
it?
It's a minimum 2 weeks. So you gotta have, because you're there all week this week. Then you start your series.
Well, that's true. That's right. I forgot about the week leading up. Okay, so 2 weeks. You're right. I was kind of like, once you get started. So that's right.
That would be the equivalent of maybe the longest road trip that you could have. The longest one I've ever been on was the first one I was ever with. With the team, 17 days.
17 days. Wow.
Yeah, 17 is the longest I've been out on a road trip with one.
I don't even
in one shot without coming home.
17 days. Did you not come home?
Didn't come home.
Wow.
At all four time zones.
Oh.
One time in between the games, but what? Here is
were
the
you
balance,
doing radio
right?
then?
When you're,
were you doing radio?
Yes.
So how did you pack for that?
Right when I took over. You know, it's interesting because you just don't have the luxury of being that guy. You can't just be that guy. You know, you've seen any number of movie scenes. A lot of times it's the diva or whatever that comes in and is overpacked and has seven bags when you're only going to be gone for 4 days. And you're like, I mean, you just can't do that. It's streamlined. And as you said, the players, you know, they're going to bring the one suit. Maybe mix in two ties. Sometimes you don't even wear a tie because all the stuff they have, their hockey equipment is it's the equipment guys that do unreal work of keeping everybody's stuff together. And, you know, their workout stuff is all washed and everything. So from a personal standpoint, they really streamline, right? They got their suit. They got one bag with a couple of changes of clothes, and they're going to make that work.
Yep.
Right? They're not going to do laundry on their own. You know, for me, if you're out for 2 weeks, then you got to be thinking, well, I don't have a bag big enough. I'm going to have to do some laundry at some point. But you pack one bag, and this is my philosophy anyway, you pack one bag, but you fit as much stuff in that one bag as you can. So if you're there for that long, you got to be thinking, how often can I do laundry? How quick can I turn it over? But you have to really simplify and say, you know what, you're not going to be Mr. Fashion and have your seven nicest shirts to rotate. You're probably going to wear the same shirt a few times, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So how many suits do you think they're going to pack?
Oh, they're going one suit.
Oh, so one.
I think some of the guys will go with one.
Okay.
You know, maybe two. Maybe two. Just in case you spill coffee on it or something. You know, that's what I was going to say.
Like, don't you have to?
But I would think some guys, they don't even think it's that important. You're just going to be walking to and from the rink. I think there's some teams that have been discussing not even having a dress code.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going in that environment. You're not even going to dress up.
Okay.
Right? So I guess you would be going to a practice rink sometimes. If you're just wearing regular clothes to that, then you don't even need to worry about it that much. So it may be zero when it comes to suits. It just depends on the individual team and how they want to look in, say, press conference settings and things like that, right? How sharp do you want to go, or do you just wear team gear in that setting? You know, I've seen college basketball teams come in with all these giant guys on a commercial flight, and they're all wearing team sweatsuits, right?
Yeah.
Or typically, as my wife Erin likes to call them, social pajamas.
Is she against that? Is that, you know?
I think she's come around
to it a little bit. Bad light, or
she used to scoff at the social pajamas, and it was really aimed at her dad because her dad was a longtime athletic director, and she would go see him at the big seminars, like at the Opryland Hotel.
Right.
Where you have 500 athletic
coaches
directors
convention.
And they're all wearing the social, yeah, and the coaches' convention, and they're all wearing the social pajamas.
Yeah.
As she says, it looks a little bit ridiculous at times. But it's very comfortable. It's very comfortable, and it's very uniform.
These are all true things. We learned something about Aaron today.
But what about like when you're in your room, right? That's the key. The downtime in your room. You got to have your computer, of course. If you got the video game console, some of the guys that would be so. What would be essentials that you would want to take with you? And you got to have it.
You just said it: computer, phone, and if you're a gamer. I mean, Philip Forsberg, I'm sure, is taking gaming devices, right?
Have to think.
So,
knowing what I've seen,
I would say computer, phone, and a gaming device or devices. I'd say are essentials. And underwear, of course, is essential. Like that's important. And deodorant.
Got to know where the laundry.
And deodorant.
But honestly, with the pandemic going on, I wonder what the facilities are like. How you do your laundry? Do you put it in a bag and have somebody do it for you, or do you actually go down to a
Willie? Do you really?
Most of the luxury hotels, most of the high level hotel.
Come on.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying though. Most of those really high class hotels, the standard of the NHL. They don't have like the laundry room like they do at some hotels where they got a laundry room and they got two or three machines on each side and you got a bunch of quarters
staff
you throw
would
in there
have to do it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. To get the and hotel that, to you know, and you know, for me, I don't want to, I'm not going to be there that long. Usually I just suck it up and just stuff all my dirty stuff in a laundry bag and throw that in a separate section of my luggage.
I don't
but
think
if
you're
going to
run
get
into
it done.
Yeah,
if you're there for 2 months, you sure as heck have to have a plan for laundry.
Yeah, but I don't think you're going to run
even
into,
3 or 4 weeks.
You're not going to grab your quarters and run into Roman Josi and Ryan Johansson in the laundry room, okay? Sitting there waiting for their clothes to dry, okay? That's just not going to happen. It would be funny if it did, but it's not. This is not going to happen. They're going to have the hotel do it if they do that.
Yeah.
Well, they will. You'll have to. Or maybe
but if
I don't
you
know,
have 12
players.
Teams, right now you got 12 teams, not in the same hotel, but you got a lot of people for these teams. Each team has 50 people among the personnel, right? So there's six in the one hotel. So that's six times 50. Most of those teams are going to be there for at least 2 weeks. So how does the laundry work with that? I'm sure they got a plan for that. It's one of the many things that they had to do. And that's, you know, a lot of the teams that are in Edmonton right now, I notice, are talking with the media for the first time. And you can imagine, in light of what's happened with the Marlins, this whole environment is a big, big topic of conversation. You know, why they created it and did it this way. That's why they did it, right? To avoid what's happening in baseball. But all that goes with it, there was a lot of detail that went into it.
I'm being told from a very reliable source that it is indeed the conference final for families. So I believe this source to be true, and so it is conference final. So you will be able to at least starting a conference final have your family join you. When we come back, tell us what you know on the other side. 615-737-1025. Right now, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years. They've been around since 2007, making a lot of you healthier and happier here in Middle Tennessee. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center in that quest. The board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne, who is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff are there to help you, whether it's hormone replacement therapy, maybe you've been feeling really sluggish or really off lately and you can't figure out what's going on, you might want to get in there and talk to them about that, check your levels, and find out what's going on. They can certainly do that. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management. During these times, maybe you haven't been able to work out like you were normally doing before this whole pandemic and the shutdown. Maybe your gym has been closed more than it's been open, and you're not satisfied with where you are with your weight, and right now your health and your weight is important, and so you can get in there. They have programs and they have things that can get you going in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291, or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
It's very simple. It's wide open. Open canvas. Tell us what you know. It's TWIC time. 615-737-1025. Let's see what we've got to give away. A Predators prize pack. Ooh. No deets to that, but it just says a Predators prize pack. 615-737-1025. Willie, this is what I know. Both Tony Kemp and Kirk Casale got robbed of home runs this weekend. Did you see that? Both of them had catches up against the wall.
Man. This is what I know, that there are a lot of home runs still being hit. You know, too many. I just think it's so incredible how powerful all these hitters are, and they're all trying to launch the ball. Nobody tries to hit line drives anymore or hard grounders. The game has changed so much. But I do know this. They are also getting really good at robbing home runs. It's like if a ball barely clears the wall, you're almost mad at the outfielder, right? It's like, well, he could have had that. You know, imagine saying that 20 years ago. Or 30 years ago, where if somebody robbed a homer, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't believe it. Now, don't you think there's so many players that are so good at timing the jump and getting up there and reaching? They happen all the time now.
They do seem more frequent these days, just like strikeouts.
And it still stinks just like as much runs. When you hit one that you knew was over the fence and the guy pulls it back.
Well,
that's
Tony Kemp,
feeling.
Rounding first, like grabbed his helmet, like, are you kidding me? Really? He was batting lefty. Just cranked one. It was like it was more in like right center field, and I don't know if it was the center field or the right field. I think it was maybe the center fielder. I don't exactly remember. Just went crashing into the wall. But the A's won. But you felt bad. And then Kirk Casale, same thing happened to him. So I felt bad for the two Vandy boys that thought they had home runs this weekend, and they were robbed. Although Kurt did have one, what, Friday, right? He did have didn't he have a 2 or 3 run bomb on Friday? Did I see that right, or was that maybe an exhibition game?
I don't think he hit a home run. He had a good game. I was listening to a lot of the game. Sonny Gray and he were the battery in the first game, and I actually got a chance to listen to several innings. Sonny hit 1,000 strikeouts, and the Vanderbilt Baseball Twitter put out a stat. It's something like he set a record for most consecutive starts with, what was it, 6 or less hits allowed or something. Pretty interesting. You know, it's not like the objective at the end of the day is did you win, did you lose, was the how many runs did you give up, but 6 or less hits, I think, for 34 or 35 straight starts. And he dominated the Tigers, and then the Reds turned around and lost the next two games to the Tigers. So that was probably not a great feeling for a team that's excited to try to get to the next level.
Do you know anything?
I hope so.
What do you know?
Well, this is what I know. In retrospect, baseball probably should have considered the bubble more than they did. And this is all hindsight is 20/20, but we did discuss it at the time. I don't know why they went away from it so quick. I guess the whole I can't be away from my family for that long, but really for 2 months, would that have been better than? And I guess time will tell. We'll hope that they can soldier through this logistically and complete the season the way they decided to do it. But I do wonder if it would have been better to try to create 10 teams in Arizona, 10 teams in Florida, 10 teams somewhere else in a complex of some sort, or maybe even the spring training complexes to minimize the flight and the interaction. I don't know. Maybe it could not have been done, but I do wonder.
Willie Chase called.
This is what I know. The NBA and the NHL in the bubbles, they got to be feeling pretty good about how they set things up.
I would agree with that. Chase called in earlier in the show as Chuck from Gainesville. On the screen, it says Randy Wheel. I don't know if we're getting punked, if this is Chase calling in as Randy Wheel, or if this is Coach Wheel. I don't know. But
Coach Wheel.
It is good to hear your voice. How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, Willie. Hey, Willie, I wanted to call and chime in on the session you guys had before, this session about players and families and all that.
Now, just for people that don't know, Coach Wheel, longtime coach, basketball coach, going back under Dean Smith at North Carolina, coached at Middle Tennessee. His son Xander played baseball at Vanderbilt and is on the cusp of making it to the big leagues with the Minnesota Twins. He's had a great career since he left Vanderbilt, College World Series champion 2014. So go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I've coached overseas in Europe. China and Mexico for the last 15 years. And my experience is that, you know, we were allowed in some countries, 3 Americans, some countries 5, some countries unlimited. But the players' family, most of them were married or had serious girlfriends. Most of them were married, the players that I had. And most of them, we report to camp in August, and then there's a Christmas break, and then everybody gets to go home, or their families can come over. The team would play for the family to come. And then after the Christmas break, the season goes on until, depending how far you get, you know, April, May. So these players would go like three to 4 months without their families. And that's why I don't see the big deal why these NBA guys say they have to have their families there and the family there. And if you were in the military or like these players that play overseas, they cannot afford to bring their wives over because usually their wives have jobs and it's not worth it. So they play from August to December and then the wife fly over for Christmas or they go home for Christmas and then they come home. So I think the players that say, oh, my family this and I can go 2 months without my family, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's my opinion.
All right, that's what Randy Wheel knows. By the way, did you get a chance to watch?
Do you think, Coach, that baseball should have pursued the bubble mentality a little bit more than they did for that reason?
But I don't know how you can put so many guys like in a bubble situation. Basketball has less guys.
Yes.
But baseball has so many guys, and even when I watch the games now, they're sitting like spread out in the stands, the pitchers. So it's hard to control. But I was mainly talking about these players that say they cannot go without their families for about 2 months. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What about the military people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. You're right about that, and they're gone a lot longer than that. So did you get a chance to watch whenever, of course, the NCAA tournament got canceled, that CBS put on some old throwback games? Did you get a chance to watch North Carolina and Georgetown?
Yeah, I saw that game a couple of times. Yeah.
What did you think? Because we had Eddie Fogler on that Monday. What did you make? It was fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, you notice that the game has changed so much.
I know.
Gosh. And there was no three-point line. And so there were 15-footers, and the game was mainly based on, you know, you go inside. Like for that game, I know James Worthy was the top scorer with 28 points, and Sam Perkins was the second one with about 24, 21. Michael, I think, had like 13 points or something. But the game now is so much of a guard-oriented team, and the guards do most of the shooting. Everything is pick and roll, and there's no ball movement. It's the NBA, they have the best players, but if you want to kind of teach young kids how to play, they shouldn't watch too much NBA because it's all one-on-one and pick and roll, and if you have a big guy, he's there for Joker. I'm convinced. I'm convinced. I don't know what you think about this. There are teams in the NBA. Any team that the point guard leads them in scoring and takes most of the shots, like Portland has these two guards that take almost all the shots. I mean, they come down 9 times and one of them will shoot the ball. Atlanta has that guy. What's his name? Trey whatever.
Trey Young. Yeah.
Yeah. The other day he scored 50 points. Okay, that's great. But he's the playmaker. If he's scoring 50 points, that means he's not looking to pass the ball. And they're just jacking it up. It's so much of a guard-oriented team. That is why European players sometimes refuse to come to play in the NBA because European players are so used to the team game and moving the ball and outside shooting. But there are too many teams like Houston and Portland and Atlanta where the point guard would take all the shots, and there's no playmaking involved. So the game has changed so much.
Yeah. No doubt. Hey, it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Randy, real quick,
give us a 30-second. Where is Xander right now? Is he in the camp with the Twins?
Yeah. He's on the 60-man roster, and of course, they travel with only 26, and the other ones are in Minnesota, but working out every day, and he's in Minnesota, and they work out and scrimmage every day. He's playing behind Sano. Now in spring training, he started most of the games, and then him and Sano split time. But now Sano is healthy, so Sano is playing first base. So he's but hopefully he gets his opportunity. You know, it is in baseball. You just have to be lucky. But then you have to make the most of your opportunity.
No doubt about it. Well, best of luck to him. Good to hear your voice, and don't be a stranger to our show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Coach Will. Wow, it's been a while since we talked to Randy Wheel. Good to hear from him. By the way, it sparked me. I saw Jacob Stallings had a big home run for the Pirates over the weekend.
Yeah, he's off to a good start. He's the starting catcher.
I know.
He has made starting catcher status in the big leagues.
How about that?
Awesome.
That was great. Well, so that was a little surprise visit. So we went a little bit over. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody else, but we do have to break away because we need to bring up Scott Burnside on the other side. So we'll start hour number 3 next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.